got a brand new way for you to end your day. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.
Now, Tim, I know that you love a little bit of the idea of gold prospecting.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, we've all been to Sovereign Hill in Ballarat.
Did you do a bit of panning?
Yeah, a bit of panning. And whether it was real or not, whether it was just gold-painted stones, the thrill of it. And my father-in-law, Kim, him and I did a trip to Beechworth in regional Victoria. We actually found, like, a flake, a single flake of gold.
Ooh.
And you get the thrill, the feeling you get when you find it. It's incredible.
In Victoria in particular, obviously we saw the gold rush in the old 1800s.
The old 1800s.
The old 1800s. Yeah. There's what is called the Golden Triangle. Do you know what the Golden Triangle is, Tim?
No.
So the Golden Triangle is like an area of north central Victoria.
Wait, it's Bendigo, Ballarat and...
St Arnaud,
yeah.
Yes.
Right.
So in this like Golden Triangle is where they found most of the big finds of gold. And it turns out over the weekend, an amateur prospector took out a little hobby metal detector.
Okay.
Found himself a gold nugget worth $240,000.
That's a lot of biscuits. Oh my God. Now, that's a big nug.
I'm not quite sure if it was like one big nugget or just like the rock that he found is full of enough of that gold that it's worth that much.
Because you imagine like Mick Malloy's movie, The Nugget, where you need like a carry wheel cart to get it. But obviously that'd be worth millions of dollars.
It was a 4.6 kilogram rock. Okay. It was found in the Golden Triangle and it was brought right here to Geelong to Lucky Strike Gold to get authenticated.
Great.
So we've actually got a team member from Lucky Strike Gold on the phone. Darren Camp, the owner of Lucky Strike Gold Prospectors in Geelong. Now, Darren, talk to us about this nugget. This big rock lands on your office.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, my wife said when he actually showed me and it went into my hand, she said your jaw dropped as much as your hand did. So it was just, look, it's one of them things all prospectors dream of finding. And look, it just proves that they're still out there.
Now, Darren, obviously the person that's brought it in safely wants to remain anonymous, so we're huge fans of that. What size are we talking talking about with this gold nugget that was brought in? Like, can you compare it to something else so that we can kind of picture it in our mind?
Yeah, was it was all the gold in the rock or was it one big nugget?
Well, when he first brought it into the shop and he dropped it in my hand, it was very dirty and it was hard to tell that there was gold in it. But as soon as it hit my hand, because of the weight, I knew it was there. But look, when he showed me, it was probably 3/4 of a brick size. And when he showed me that, he said, oh, that's only half the rock. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I thought there was a target in it, so I broke it open. He said, the other half's at home.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So when he called back in 2 weeks later, the two rocks obviously go back together again. It's probably the size of 2 bricks, I suppose.
Wow.
Until you've got it in your hand and you feel the weight, the whole rock weighs 4.6 kilos and there's 2.6 kilos of gold in it.
Oh, which, my gosh. Now, you've been prospecting yourself for 40 years. Right?
Yes.
Is this the biggest one that you've seen personally? Or
it's the biggest specimen. A specimen is when there's gold and rock. It's still in its host rock. Yeah, and it's the biggest one I've seen, had in my hands, and I've seen a lot of gold over the years.
So what happens now with this gold? So say if hypothetically it was me, I brought you in a 2 kilo nugget of gold. How do you sell that to make money? Or if you don't want to sell it, is it something that you go, all right, well, I'm buying a safe, I'm putting it in my house, I'm never telling a single soul?
I wish I could do that, but when we bought it, I think it cleaned out about 3 bank accounts, but... I suppose gold is going up in price all the time just with the uncertainty in the world. It is a good investment, but, it will come a time that, I've got to sell it. And there's, when gold's in a rock, there's a test you can do and it tells you how much gold is actually in that rock. And like I said, 2.6 kilos of gold. And gold today is roughly about 90... bit over $95 a gram.
So what are we, what, like, I know Jess mentioned it before, but I want to get it from the horse's mouth.
Yes.
How much is this gold worth that was brought to your store?
Well, I looked on the calculator today, as I do every day, and work it out. $243,000, that is at gold price.
Oh, my God.
Darren, thank you so much for coming onto the show and getting us into the world of gold prospecting for a moment. That's
if there's
wild.
Anyone else, because this guy was an amateur prospector. If anyone else wants to get out and get into the Golden Triangle themselves, what advice do you have for them, Darren?
Come into the shop and have a talk to us and, yeah, we'll steer you in the right direction, hopefully.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Darren. We really appreciate you coming on the show.
Okay, take care, guys. See ya.
You've got a brand new way to drive home. It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Jess, last night we finally saw the season finale of Australian Survivor. And congratulations to Liz, who won after a unanimous vote at Tribal Council. But we were offered to speak to anyone in the final four of Australian Survivor.
Tim, there's no one you wanted to speak to more than the man we have waiting on the phone right now.
Yes, it is King George, in my opinion, the best player of this season, and maybe one of the best players of all time of Australian Survivor. King George, welcome to the show this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Now, a lot of people are talking about you this year, George. Unfortunately, you didn't make the final three, because if you did, you probably would have won. What was it like getting, I guess, voted out at Tribal Council for the first time ever? Because in the first season, you didn't get voted out either.
It was the first time ever I've been voted out. I played 94 straight games, and for the protege to take out the master, I couldn't be more proud of Liz. And I came in there telling myself glory or death was my strategy, and I was glorious for the entire season. It was the best season of Australian Survivor ever. I'm sure everybody down there in Geelong absolutely loved it as well, and I had the time of my life.
It's pretty incredible to see, like, 93 days. That is a long
day.
That is a long time to be out and in survival mode. I mean, how did you prepare for something like this?
I think I had a bit of a leeway time going into Samoa, and I knew what I needed to do to course correct from the first time. So I can't turn my off-the-street body into an athlete's body in 1 or 2 years. But I did get into the peak physical condition, the best condition I've ever been in my life. And the challenge side's not my strength, but I won one endurance challenge. Sadly, I was too broken to win the final one. I came within 15 minutes. But I played the best game in Survivor history the first time, and then I upped it and played an even better game this time. And I'm glad that everybody enjoyed it.
It was fantastic, George. Now, obviously, Australian Survivor's filmed like a few months ago, like last year, and now we're seeing it now and for the last couple of weeks. What's it like watching it back? Obviously, going through the 46 days, I think, that you went through, that's pretty intense, and obviously it kind of is a moment. What's it like watching back and things that are missed out, or things that you go, wow, this is really cool to watch for another time?
Well, I've been a lifelong Survivor fan, so watching it back for me is like a really exciting experience. And it was very different for the first time. So I was in a Western Sydney lockdown when I got out of the game, and I was watching Brains v Braun in 2021, rather. And I have watched most of these episodes with former castmates and former Survivor players. And it's something that is important to all of us, because Survivor's changed my life. And the fact that I made sure that this was the best season ever, and the way that it was packaged up so excitingly by all of my friends at Channel 10, I'm just so proud that it's getting the recognition that it deserves for being the best Survivor season ever.
Now, what's it like with creating relationships with these people? Because obviously it's nothing like anything else in the world you can kind of experience. Is it like friendships that you like these new type of friendships that you just never knew you could have with people that you've only known for 40-odd days?
You form lifelong friendships, and it's hard to explain, but I brought Cara, who I played with right until the end, as my loved one, and Cara's like literally my best friend in life. And you have such a close bond with the players that you go deep with, and I'm like that with Liz, Jerry and Matt now, and Haley from my first season, who was an enemy in the game a second time but a great friend in real life. And it's just a life-changing experience. So most of the past players are really close. We always keep in touch. We go out for dinners, we go out for drinks. and it's something that I'm so grateful to be a part of.
George, I think what Tim is trying to ask here is he's actually applied for the next season of Survivor. Do you have any tips for Tim if he...
And maybe not just me as well, but for
anyone that's applying.
That is applying, yeah.
Well, I think if people are interested, they should give it a go, because that's what happened with me, Tim. I applied for the first time for season 6 and I got on. And I want to see more and more seasons of Australian Survivor. I want the next George to play in season 9. I see the ads on Channel 10 as well, encouraging members of the community to apply. And then if you don't throw your hat in the ring, you don't get on. And when I threw my hat in the ring, I did. And then... now I'm the king of Survivor.
Well, George, I don't think we're going to ever see another player quite like yourself. So very grateful for the advice and to have you on the show. Condolences on not making it to the final, because you probably would have won. But
we'll probably see you on again sometime soon, right, George?
Maybe soon. But I'm happy to go back to the commentator's lounge and talking tribal for the next season. Give my body a bit of a rest.
George, King George, thank you very much for coming on the show for a chat this afternoon, and congratulations on everything you've achieved.
Thank you so much.
All you, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
Jess, you and I have been on a bit of a whirlwind, like a few thousand people that we've discovered after you know how on Facebook you get suggested groups?
Of course.
I said to you, I was like, look at this group that's just come up for me.
It's amazing.
It's the Drysdale KFC appreciation page.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, it must be really good if it's got its own page. And then you joined it, and that's when you discovered that it's not
even open yet.
What?
Yeah.
How can it have so much buzz if it doesn't exist?
Look, the town of Drysdale just very, very excited to finally get their KFC.
Now, this is, again, this is not sponsored. We spoke about this yesterday. KFC hasn't paid us money to talk about this. McDonald's, Red Rooster.
Subway.
Thanks.
Love me a footlong.
Yep. So... yesterday on the show, we discussed what's going on, and I think we should probably cover over that, because there's been some interesting things happening in the last 24 hours. So, Jess, your journalism degree is actually something that's been used quite a lot lately.
I know. I'm such a good detective these days.
So we were trying to find out on the group, and you were looking in the Facebook page, and you were looking at all the stuff, and different dates about when it's going to be opening, why it's not open, were flying around.
Lots of dates were thrown around. 31st of December apparently was supposed to open, the 14th of February, 28th of March, 18th of April. Lots of people throwing around these dates and... yet we're still yet to see the opening of the store.
We spoke about this yesterday. We used a contact that we have here at the radio station, and they'll remain nameless.
Yes.
So we were like, all right, well, if we've got this platform of having a radio show, if we know people in the industry, surely we can use that to our advantage. Because this is for you. If you're listening right now, this is for you.
We spoke to our contact at KFC, the local contact here at KFC. And they have assured us on good authority.
Very good authority. Crispy authority, you could almost say.
The store is ready to go.
There is one kind of, I'm not going to say hiccup, but there is something that needs to be completed first that is out of their hands.
Out of their hands. Their store, ready to go. Ready to open doors, ready to drop the baskets into fryers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they couldn't give us an exact date. They have an idea of a date, but they don't want to disappoint anyone.
No.
They told us to hold off on just a little bit.
Because obviously this could be a mass event.
Yeah.
A safe mass event, but a mass event nonetheless. I think, Jess, again, over the next 24 hours, you and I think we push our weight around a little bit.
Yep.
I think we start saying, hey, we're going to name names. We're going to start shaming names.
We get an actual confirmed date.
Maybe not even a confirmed date. We just get more evidence before we go full sledgehammer.
Sure.
You're leading this.
How am I supposed to tell the Veronicas when to come down to Drysdale?
That is a great point.
If I don't have an opening date.
Who's going to be performing at the grand opening of KFC Drysdale? Well, that's what we do. This is what Jess is doing. I'm just a happy bystander in this. So tomorrow, another update, Jess?
Yes, hopefully we'll have even more info tomorrow.
Okay, fantastic.
It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Benny Rogers from Workdays has come into the studio, and Jess, we didn't start well yesterday. Yep. With have you been paying attention?
We can only go uphill from here, Tim.
All right, let's do it.
Tim and Jess. K-Rock. Have you been paying attention? But on the radio.
Let's find out. Play along, because Ben Rogers brings us three news stories every single day. He'll leave out some key elements, and we have to fill in the blanks.
And I reckon you'll go maybe a little bit better with these ones today. I'm tipping it off the bat. We'll see how
okay.
we go.
No, I'm not a betting man, so be careful.
A woman from New South Wales has come across a deadly find in her backyard pool. What was going for a swim in there?
Oh, have you seen this?
No.
It makes me never want to get in the water again. You know I'm already scared of the water.
Well, you're scared of the ocean. I wouldn't say you're scared of a puddle, hopefully.
She found like a deadly poisonous spider at the bottom of the pool.
A spider?
Not just one, four of them.
So big.
What type of spiders?
Four extremely venomous eastern mouse spiders, which can live underwater for up to 30 hours.
I always thought the water was like a safe space. Like if I get in the water, they can't come after me.
No thanks, and you want to go on Survivor.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, but
good point.
That's a Queensland.
Nah, there's
that's
no spiders
Sydney.
In Samoa.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't.
Hey, a photo of the Pope has recently fooled the internet. Pictured wearing what?
Have you seen this?
No.
Am I the only one who's been on the internet today?
I haven't. I'll be honest, I'm trying to get off my phone a bit more.
A Balenciaga puffer jacket.
Yeah, a white puffer jacket. And while the internet...
You know what? He looks pimping.
He does. But whilst the internet had quite the giggle, experts are warning that more fakes could easily happen like this thanks to the growing interest in AI. Yeah.
I don't know. Are you allowed to say the Pope's pimping? I'm not into that stuff, but that sounds wrong.
And finally, a bear has been spotted having a great time in a backyard in the New York State village of Wappingers Falls. What was the bear doing?
Having a picnic? He wasn't yogi? Okay.
He was not yogiing it up, no.
It was in someone's backyard. Was he, going down the slide, like some kid's slide?
No, he was enjoying some kids' play equipment, though, just bouncing around on a trampoline with a soccer ball. Just paddling the soccer ball around, bouncing around, having a glorious old
time. Is it one of those, 2023-style trampolines that none of us have ever experienced with the walls? Or is it, oh, wow.
It got in there, mate, and was just
bear's
mate,
got money.
I'm just having the best
Bring
time in the world.
Bring back the ones that used to, it was, death-defying. We used to put, hand soap on my friend's backyard.
Oh, make it even more scary.
Yeah, and then you'd run the hose on it, and it was death. It was either jump up and enjoy your time, or fall in the springs to your death. None of these walls. Yeah.
Well, you've sold it so well, I'm sure a big toy manufacturer will jump on that very, very soon.
All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
Five and on Tuesdays, honestly, we really do try to spell names.
Spell my name, spell my name.
Something multicultural.
Something that's a mouthful.
Baby, spell my name.
Spell my name, spell my name.
Think we can guess it.
If not, we'll be stressing. Let us spell your name.
Yes, 52232955. If you give us a call, tell us your name or the name of a loved one.
Yeah.
We'll spell it.
Are we almost at 40?
We are at 9.
Okay.
9 spelt correctly for the year.
So
how many have we tried to spell? I don't want to think about it.
It'd probably be, if we're on 9, we're getting towards nearly 30 to 40 names spelled correctly. incorrectly.
Yep.
Danny. Danny's giving us a call.
Hello.
Danny, whose name do you want us to spell? Because it's all about the thrill of hearing that name spelled correctly.
So it's my son's name. It's actually a really easy name, but everybody spells it incorrectly.
Okay.
What's
his name?
Xavier.
Oh, Danny, there's a few ways of spelling Xavier.
Okay. I'm going to go with Xavier.
Bum, bum.
Jess and I have a friend whose son's name is Xavier and it's spelled that way. So.
Okay, all right. I'm going to go with the traditional spelling, Tim.
Okay.
I think Xavier.
Correct.
Yes!
Thank the Lord.
Woo!
Danny, have you got any
Thank
other
you,
names?
Danny.
It's a tricky one because it's spelled with an X, but it's pronounced with a Z.
Yeah, but this is why my best mate has a Xavier as a son, and she went with Z because she said, "Well, it's said with a Z."
But Danny, I would say that Xavier with X is way more common than Xavier with a Z.
It is.
Have you got any other names
that so many people get it wrong
that we can run through, Danny? I feel like we're on a hot streak with you, so I'm not going to pick up any other phone calls because we need to get points, and you've got names that we can spell. So is it D-A-N-I for you?
Yes.
Great.
Write it down, Jess.
Yeah, we'll take that one.
Danny, who else have you got?
My other son, Lucas.
All right, Lucas. Jess, you want to have a crack at Lucas?
L-U-C-A-S.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh,
we've done it. Danny. Got any other names you could, think we could spell?
I feel like we've milked Danny.
One more. One more, Danny.
Okay.
I think you've milked me with all your right. dings now, guys.
Yeah, all right, fairy. Fair enough, Danny.
Don't be greedy with your dings, Tim.
No, Danny, we got three names. We spelled the whole family. Thank you very much for playing today.
No worries. Thanks.
Yeah,
great names, Tim. You should write those down for your little boy.
Yeah, my son's due to be born in late July, early August. So what was it?
They're not on my name guest list, though.
Oh, did you? Because you said you were going to write down
I've written down three potential names, and I think that one of them will at least be correct.
I mean, we can speak to one more person if you want to spell some more names. Tracy in Whittington, do you want us to spell a name on the radio?
Yeah.
Whose
Rachel.
Name? Rachel. Ooh. R-A-C-H-E-L.
No.
I'm not even trying now. I'm so confident we've got the other three, Jess.
Rachel. How old is Rachel, Tracy?
Oh, good question.
She's 30.
Okay. That's... You got it, Jess.
R-A-C-H-A-E-L.
No.
Oh.
How do we spell it?
How do we spell it, Tracy?
R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E.
Oh, like Rochelle.
Rochelle.
That's cool. I've never seen it spelled that way before.
I'm sorry we didn't spell it, Tracy, and offer your daughter that thrill.
No way.
Yeah. The worst thing was because we're ahead of time. Yeah. We can hear
us. We heard the disappointment
disappointing twice.
That was great. Yeah.
We should have finished when we got the three. Oh, well, we tried again.
Hey, double digits.
Yeah. Woo, woo, woo.
Come on. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Tim and
Jess. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.